Welcome to Kodampa Podcasts. These podcasts offer practical solutions to daily challenges and help guide us to a happier and more peaceful state of mind. In each episode, you will find an extract from a teaching given by one of various Kodampa Buddhist teachers worldwide. All these teachings are inspired by the profound wisdom of Venerable Geshe Kalsang Gyatso Rinpoche, a Buddhist master for our time. We hope you enjoy listening.
Out of six root delusions, we're going to look at number one. So here it's called, the Buddha calls it, desirous attachment. So I'm just going to read a little bit because I want you to get the scientific explanation of this painful habit that we all have, by the way. We all have it. It's more difficult to identify than anger. Anger is really easy to see, feel, and sort of develop. It doesn't feel good when I'm angry. But desirous attachment is sneaky. It's a sneaky habit. And in fact, in the beginning, it actually feels really good. This is so unfair. So here's what I'm going to share with you. The definition of desirous attachment. So don't worry, it's not going to be too scientific, but we need to look at the mechanism of our pain in the wisdom of Buddha's teachings. So a little bit scientific. And it sounds sort of formal, but don't let that throw you off. Just kind of let it go in here. The definition of desirous attachment is a deluded mental factor that observes its contaminated object, which just means anything. It's a deluded mental factor, part of my mind, that observes anything, anyone. Regards it as a real cause of happiness, and then wishes for it. So that's simple. Desirous attachment is our normal thing. We normally do this, is that we observe anything outside of ourself, mainly, and we develop this strong wish to have it. We regard it as a cause of happiness, and then we want it. That's how it works. We think of something, see something, remember something, or with something, anything outside of ourself can be the object of our desirous attachment. We're going to look at people, other people. We're going to use them as our object in this analogy. So desirous attachment, just as a little encouragement, Buddha is saying, desirous attachment is not the same as desire. There are many non-deluded desires that it is suitable to cultivate, such as the desire to attain liberation, the desire to attain enlightenment, the desire to help others, the desire to improve ourselves. Those are all good desires. So we have lots of good desires or wishes. Those are synonyms. We have a lot of wishes that are great. We need those wishes. But desirous attachment is different. Desirous attachment develops like this. First, we perceive or remember a contaminated object. So you can read the book and learn more about that. But that just means for us, anything. Anything can be an object of our desirous attachment. So in this case, we're going to think of a person or people or others. And then we feel that object to be attractive. In other words, we like it. And then we focus our attention on their good qualities. In fact, that's all we think about, is their good qualities. And then we exaggerate those good qualities. Because it's someone we really like. And when our desirous attachment is developing, we focus on them and we think about their good qualities. This happens very quickly. And then what happens is, I think in a modern, contemporary way of looking at it, is our desirous attachment photoshops their good qualities. And in fact, it photoshops every bad quality out. There's no blemishes. There's no bad breath. They don't do anything bad. They only do good things. And it's like, I want them. You know that feeling. Well, I want them. You know, it can happen with inanimate objects and other things like pets as well. But we're looking at people because this is where our loneliness and sadness comes from. So this mind is so unfair. It just, we think about that person. When our desirous attachment's functioning, we don't see any bad qualities. And what happens then is immediately we develop this strong, strong desire. We need them, we want them, we miss them, I can't live without them. Those feelings, those are normal feelings. I can't imagine not having them in my life. You know that feeling? It's very strong. So this desirous attachment makes us believe instantly that person is essential to our happiness. We think, I will be happy if I'm with them. I'll be happy if I'm with them. And desirous attachment, it contaminates our mind. So when we love someone, that's a pure mind. We're going to look at that in a minute. But right now we're looking at the impure part of our mind with respect to others, which our desirous attachment makes them feel like, makes for us, we feel like they are my source of happiness. If I don't have them, I can't function. We all have that at different times. So desirous attachment is the normal experience of the first 6 weeks of any relationship. So don't worry, it's normal. You know, you think about them all day, you lose weight, you can't think about anything. You're thinking all about them, every moment's mixed with them. And your concentration's extraordinary. And whatever we're doing, we're part of our mind is focused on that person. After 6 weeks, then the Photoshop part starts to diminish and we start seeing some faults. It's just reality. We start to say, well, you know, they're a little critical. Oh, and actually they look really bad in the morning. But, you know, over time, so little faults start to show up. This is normal. And then what happens if we can allow the desirous attachment part, it reduces, our love increases. More moments of actual love, and the love is a balanced mind. Desirous attachment's an exaggerated mind. And even though it's a light, when we're thinking about it with new relationships and so forth, it just helps us understand this mind. Because we're gonna look at it, how it causes us torture, sadness, prolonged grief, later in life. Or when we lose that person. That's what we're looking at, is what happens is that that mind of desirous attachment keeps functioning. And even though we've lost that person, maybe they left us, or maybe they passed away, or in our life, we are separated from that person somehow. And we're looking at the pain that comes totally from this attachment. Pain doesn't come from love. People mix that up all the time. Attachment causes pain. Love does not. So we have to discriminate correctly so that we can learn how to work with our losses. You know, for some people, their attachment is causing them so much pain because they've been lonely their whole life. They've never found the one. And it's just so sad. So the sadness, the pain, the grief, all of those painful feelings are coming from the attachment in our mind, not our love. And we need to know that. If we can learn that, we can protect ourselves from pain, finally. So be patient. This is a little new understanding, if you're new especially. So as attachment's developing, we focus our attention on their good qualities, exaggerate them. That's what we do, is we make their good qualities so big We think they're the only one that makes me happy. If I don't have them, I won't be happy. And many people, we feel that with our children. We feel that with our parents. We feel that with our friends. We feel that with a lot of things. Attachment is so easy. You know, delusions are very, very strong in our ordinary minds. They're more natural to us at the beginning. Buddha explained that our virtuous minds, like love, compassion, generosity, wisdom, and so forth, they are very weak in the beginning. We have the seeds for those minds, and we have some of those tendencies, but our familiarity with delusions like attachment is so strong that we have to work hard to overcome it in the beginning. Does that make sense to you experientially? It's very easy to be angry. We don't have to take a class on developing desirous attachment. We don't offer that class. All of our classes are about getting rid of that because we want to get rid of our pain. Most people come looking for community because they're lonely. This is a good place to come. This is like everybody here is sick. We all have desirous attachment. Yep. We all have some anger. Yep. We got all these delusions. All of us have them. But big difference between this community, I would just say, communities that are focusing on solutions, understanding that if I want to have a good life, I need to get rid of these painful mental habits. And so we're all trying to do that. Some days we do a really good job, and other days not so good. But we're all working at it. And the thing that's nice about a community here is that we're following these teachings make sense to us. We think, I'm over the pain. I've been feeling pain from the loss of that person in my life for 25 years. I want to heal. So people stumble in the door and they think, what does Buddha say about long-term pain? And then if you're fortunate, you stay, you get some teachings on the pain producer in living beings' minds. Number one is attachment. All anger comes from attachment. So you think, okay, I've never heard of that. A lot of people use the word attachment in the common society, like it's a good thing. Oh, I'm so attached to my cell phone. I'm so attached to my pet. I'm so attached. It's a wicked mind, but we don't understand that yet. So be patient. Hopefully it's new information. And if it's not new, we love this teaching because it's telling us about our diagnosis and we can gauge if we're improving or not. So desirous attachment is an exaggerated sense of need. I need that to be happy. That's desirous attachment. I need that. I need them. I need them to be happy. So that is where desirous attachment dupes us, because nobody can make you happy except who? Yourself. He's a plant. I told him to say that. We know that because we've been coming to teachings. Nobody can make you happy. They can be a conducive condition to your happiness, of course. So Buddha's not saying that they don't play a role in your happiness, but they're not the substantial cause of your happiness. Your happiness is actually coming from your mind. And so when we get unhappy in relationships, it's not the person. They may trigger something, but the substantial cause is, my mind's gone deluded. And normally the delusion that we need to think about is our desirous attachment. It's so nice to have a diagnosis. Most people have never heard this. In ordinary life, you don't hear this. In fact, a lot of our society, that normally we're encouraging desirous attachment. You know, the one, find the one. If that one doesn't work, find another one, and then another one. We're always looking for happiness where it can't be found. So I want to read, I'll finish the description of how desirous attachment works. Then I'm going to read the three types of desirous attachment, because I think it's kind of interesting to look at. So with an exaggerated sense of the attractiveness of the object, we then hold it to be desirable and develop desire for it. In other words, we find someone, and this can be just a friend, rather than an intimate partner. It can be a friend. You find a friend, you find someone in your life, or you feel this way about people close to you. We focus our attention on their good qualities. We exaggerate those. We think, you are amazing. And then what happens is we develop a strong sense of, and I need you. I need you to make me happy. I need you. And that a big need, a big N, I need you. Then attachments developed. So finally, our desire attaches us to the object so that it feels as if we've become glued or absorbed into it. So that means we never stop thinking about them. Everything we're doing is flavored or informed by our mind holding that person, thinking about them day and night in the beginning. Also, later, we don't do that later in the relationship, but we are always aware of their presence in our life. Now, whether that awareness is painful or positive depends on our mind. It depends on us. This is good news. And so Buddha is not saying we shouldn't have people in our life. What he's encouraging us to do is reduce our attachment for them, increase our love for them, and your health, your relationship will become healthy and happy. And even when they do leave you, you won't experience pain. This is outrageous. This is very, very rare for someone to go through the loss of someone close to them and actually have no pain. Is that possible? Absolutely. Absolutely, 100%. So perk up. We must be careful to distinguish attachment from love. Love is a virtuous mind that creates only peace and happiness, whereas attachment is never virtuous. Never. It's never your friend, ever, and always causes pain and problems. So here's a quick way to discriminate between love and attachment. Love is, I want you to be happy, period. Attachment is, I want you to make me happy. I want you to make me happy. I want you to make me happy. So we want, from the outside in, we want that person, our child, our parent, our boss, our partner, to make me happy. Come on. What's the problem? So you can see it's a big problem. No one can make us happy. This is the problem. Only our own attitude toward others makes us happy. So love is, I want you to be happy. There's no conditions. I just want you to be happy. We say that to our children, to our friends, to our partners, to everyone in our life. We switch the flow of energy from sucking in, I want you to make me happy, come on. You made me happy the first 6 weeks, what happened? You made me happy last week, what's the problem? We're always looking out there, blaming them. So this is a big deal if you just think simply, I'm reversing the flow of my energy. Attachment sucking in, trying to get happy from other people. If I find the right people, I'll be happy. I'll just hang out with them and they'll make me happy. You know, it looks like it works for a little while, but it always fails, doesn't it? Because we need to work from the inside out. What if we start thinking, I want to override my attachment tendencies with my love. And all I have to do is check the flow. What am I thinking? Make me happy, or I just want you to be happy. It's magic, actually.
If you feel inspired by this podcast, then dive deeper into timeless wisdom of modern Kadampa Buddhism by following the link in the episode description. We look forward to reconnecting with you in the next episode of Kadampa Podcasts.